Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode number 137 of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. I'm Al.
I'm Anton. And once again, we're joined by the fantastic Mo. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm not too bad. Not too bad, thank you.
Excellent. Wonderful. Good to hear it. Did everybody have a nice Halloween? Because today's the day after Halloween.
Yeah, it's quite nice. I didn't get to celebrate it last year for natural reasons, but actually got to wear a costume this week. And the week before.
Ooh. Oh, what did you dress up as?
I've done one where I dressed up as a character called Nandor from What We Do in the Shadows, which is a FX TV show. And then I kind of dressed up as a loose Austin Powers. And then I've got another party next weekend.
I love the idea of a loose Austin Powers. I mean, let's face it, Austin Powers by definition is a fairly loose kind of a guy. He's a swinger, baby.
A loose adaptation. I didn't quite have the blue velvet, so I had to improvise. And then next week, I'm yet to decide, so I need to come up with a third costume for a Bonavine party, part bonfires, part Halloween. So any suggestions what I could make from a vampire costume and an Austin Powers costume? There's surely something in the middle there.
I mean, you've got really long hair. You make a really good, like, the Crow, you know, like Brandon Lee, the Crow. You pull that off amazingly.
I think this is either me being youthful or uneducated.
Oh, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. I'll let Discord yell at you for that one. What about you, Mo? Have you been doing Halloween?
Not particularly. I did have sweeties and stuff at the house for folk at the door. I didn't dress up or anything. I don't even know what I did last night. I can't remember, to be honest. But no, I didn't dress up. My partner did buy a big dinosaur costume, which was interesting.
It's the big inflatable one.
So we did take a dog for a walk down the road, and I was accompanied by a dinosaur. So it was interesting.
That is just so kind, so awesome. That's so cool. I love it so much. I was right, by the way. The Discord, we've got people listening to us recording live, as we sometimes do, and already the Discord is laying into Andor for not having seen The Crow. Well done, Discord.
If you're listening along on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any of the other services, and you also want to lay into me for my lack of pop culture knowledge, you can do that if you go to nsukp.co.uk/support-us, where you can learn all about our Patreon reward tiers. We have the wonderful Discord set. Server, as we've mentioned, that you can lend to me for lack of pop culture knowledge, Al, sir, for being nitpicky, and Mike for basically everything under the sun. And as well as that, we've got a couple other bonus shows, such as Last Call, which we'll be recording right after this show, where we just get to, I guess, cut loose. You've got a glass of wine already, Al, so who knows what Last Call is going to be like. And we do the prequel.
Shh, you're giving away show secrets. They're not meant to know.
Occasionally we have some little wee goodies that go out to our N64 members. Previously we had like a really cool beanie. So yeah, nsukp.co.uk/support-us to learn more.
Well done. That was comprehensive,
Bam,
my friend.
I'm slowly getting the hang of this whole plugin thing. Not very good at it.
I'm going to quickly ask you guys what you've been playing this week. Mo, what have you been playing?
Some Animal Crossing, and I gave the N64 and the Sega thing a go. So just a little bit. I haven't played too much of it because I was more focused on Animal Crossing, but I have sort of jumped in a little bit on that. So what?
I'm now intrigued. I'm trying to decide whether to ask you your opinions of that now or leave it to later in the show when we know we're going to be
talking about it.
Let's stick a pin in it for now. We'll come back to it.
Lovely.
What about you, Anton?
Yes,
you
I don't know if I mentioned this last week because I did it the week before, but I've recently got like a new monitor arm for my desk and I can rotate my monitors 90 degrees. So I've been doing a lot of vertical gaming on my Nintendo Switch. So I've been playing the vertical spaceship shooter Ikaruga, which is just fabulous, being able to play that on a big screen vertically. It's like being in the arcade. I'm really loving that. And I've also been playing some Downwell that way. I don't know. It's just all same amount of pixels, but vertically, and I'm just mesmerized. I'm a simple being. And I've also played a title by the name of Finding Teddy 2 Definitive Edition. I've not given it the most time. It seems to have a bit of a cult status to it, so I'm going to give it another chance. But to be honest, I'm not very impressed. Just even the, you know, it's a pixelated platformer, but even just then the physics are a bit rough. So I'm a little bit apprehensive of that one, but I've been inspired enough from what I've heard of this game's quality to give it a second bash, but so far not impressed, but haven't given it its due time. How about yourself, Alistair? What have you been playing?
I have actually managed to play a fair bit, albeit not much on the Switch, but the games I have been playing are on the Switch. Okay, let's start with the actual Switch game I played. I played more Mario Party. Not the new one, because I've not got the new one yet. I played the old one with Mike and remembered just how much fun it is. It's very good. It's very, and actually, I played some with my family as well. We played some of the river rafting version of the game. So for those of people who haven't played Mario Party, it's almost like two games in one. You've got one where you've got a board that you go around various, you know, like a board game type thing, and you roll the dice and you do whatever you can do and you play mini games. There's another version in the older one where you go down a river and you've got to basically raft your way down. You use your Joy-Cons to paddle your boat. You're going to try and go as far as you can in a certain lot of time and play mini games on the way. It's good fun. So I've done a fair bit of that this week. And yeah, Mike and I sat down one night and admittedly put it on the Xbox, but it's just as good on the Switch. We played Streets of Rage 4. We made it through on easy. We just about made it. Well, we did. We completed the story on easy and we loved it. It is just so good. There's something wonderfully, I don't know, familiar and pleasing about beating the crap out of people with your fists and your feet and then a lead pipe and occasionally stabbing them with a little wee knife and then hitting them over the head with a glass bottle. It's just really annoying when this bad guy who basically looks like sort of a drunk, middle-aged wifey headbutts you constantly. It's really annoying. I hate that character. I took great pleasure in beating her up.
Yeah, you know, Streets of Rage 4 was a title that I similarly played on Game Pass, and I was just like, I have been foolish for not having picked this up, because it was just like such a good game, and I can't believe it took until it was just slid across to me for free for me to actually recognize it and give it a go. So definitely pick that one up and Switch. And also, if you are one of the Patreon members, you do get our friend codes, and it's been kind of incredible to see how many people have picked up the new Mario Party. Didn't expect so much fanfare, but it's been really like getting me a little bit tempted to pick it up more.
Yeah, I caved. I went and got it last night.
Oh, you'll need to give us full first impressions once you boot up.
Yeah, I've played a little bit of it so far, but not a whole heap.
Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, I've only ever played a tiny bit of that game in the past, and it would have been years ago, so I couldn't quite remember what to expect. But I did like it. I did about 30 minutes, so it was a fairly quick game, but I did enjoy it, and I could see why it would be such a good co-op game as well, to get everyone together and just have a laugh with it. It'd be really good.
I can see this is going to become. This is going to become an expansion.
Yeah,
it has to.
This is
going
to
happen.
If it doesn't, I'll cry.
Well, the other game I played a bit of this week was Destroy All Humans. Again, I played it on the Xbox, but it's on the Switch. The port is a very good Switch on port, and it's just such a good game. I've never played it the first time around because it was on the. I'm going to say, was it the 360 or was
original
it the original
Xbox? PS2 era.
Yeah, it was way back. The comedy in it is just genius. It's just, it's so funny. It shouldn't be. It's kind of toilet humor. I mean, one of the weapons you have is the anal probe. It's that level of humor, but at the same time, it weirdly doesn't feel sort of South Park in the way it delivers it. It feels slightly more highbrow. I don't quite know how. It's amusing. It's well written. It's a good script. And I've thoroughly enjoyed it, albeit it's kind of frustrating in bits because, frankly, I'm just not very good. But the game itself is. So yeah, you go. Al's review of Destroy All Humans. It's good. Al is done.
Incredible. And I think on that note, we should probably shuffle into the news.
Well, no, we have two more things we need to talk about, Anton.
I'm foolish. Yes, we
do. Yes. Well, one of them is we got a new Patreon and we forgot to do a shout out last week. So we need to do a big shout out, woohoo, Zenstar, who joined us.
Thank you very much, Zenstar, for joining us on the live show. It's lovely to have you.
Yeah, I can see you hovering there. It's awesome. And we also got two reviews, which I feel we should read out. We actually got three reviews. We've still got one under an embargo because Mike won't let us read it out. He's just he's beside himself and wants to talk about it. Unfortunately, as you've gathered, he's not here with us yet this week. Hopefully we'll have him back next week. But in the meantime, we got 2 5-star reviews, which is lovely. The first one came courtesy of Gaz Caddy. It was entitled Cracking Podcast, which is always a nice start. As a fellow Nintendo Switch enthusiast, I really enjoy this podcast. Keep up the good work. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. We really appreciate it. And then the other one came in from Peter 30,000.
Wow, there's...
I mean, that's cool. I've never seen anyone with such a big number after their name before.
29,099 of them were all gone, so we've got a special one. That's a collector's edition. If it was a Pokemon card, that Peter would be shiny.
He really, really would be. And his one was titled Great Podcast, which is a good start. I like that. The hosts are very knowledgeable and have great chemistry between them. Overall, it's just a lot of fun, but informative at the same time. Love the quizzes too. Keep up the good work. It makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside when you get reviews like that.
I can't believe we're knowledgeable. And I can't believe...
Well, to be fair, I think they're just speaking
English. Yeah.
I mean, the rest of us, we bumble our way through. We haven't got a clue. You're definitely the brains behind this operation.
You give me far too much credit, but I guess we'll see in the quiz later on at the end of the podcast.
Indeed we will. All right, I think you were right to usher in the news.
Tell us that people want to know.
All right, first up, it's technically not actually Switch news, really, but we may as well talk about it because it's probably quite big. Niantic have formally announced Pikmin Bloom for iOS and Android, and it's out now, but not here. It's out now in America. We're getting it at some point. Nintendo of Europe have already said it's coming, but they just said soon. Have you guys had a look at this, Anton? Have you looked at it?
Yeah, to be honest, I think because it's a free-to-play, I'm going to wait until I get my hands on it. But yeah, it's interesting having a look at the trailer. It's incredibly lifestyle-y, as you can imagine. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this one does. The two biggest forays into this sort of augmented reality explore your world cell games have been Pokemon Go and the Wizards of Hogwarts cell title. I forget if that's the correct title.
Yeah.
But those are built on huge established IPs, and Pikmin is huge, but it's not Harry Potter or Pokemon. So I'm curious to see how this title works, but in concept and as a franchise, it's a cracking application. It just fits the aesthetics and the methodologies of augmented reality so well. So delighted to give this one a go. It is a shame, though. They've recently, I believe yesterday, shut down Dr. Mario World. So I guess there's only so much room for Nintendo Mobile. Otherwise, the universe explodes. But outside of exploding, how are you feeling about this title, Mo?
I had a little look at it as well. It did, like, obviously remind me a little bit of the sort of Pokemon Go style with the, like, walking around in the real world kind of thing. It looks really pretty. It's quite bright and colourful, and I think I'll probably look at downloading it when it comes and see how it goes. You never know, I might get hooked on it.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At the Gaming Blender, we take randomised genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out the Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
These games are amazingly addictive. I've played Pokemon Go for a very long time, and occasionally it's still technically on my phone because my son got into it earlier this year and was besotted with it. He's thankfully forgotten about it for now. I'm hoping it might stay that way. And my other half, she's still playing the Harry Potter Wizarding World one, and she's been playing that, I think, since the day it launched. This one, those other two games I kind of got. Pokemon was very obvious. Wander around the world, look for Pokemon, catch them. That was a very simple, understandable mechanic. Then the Wizarding World came along, and I was a bit... I wondered how they were going to implement it. I thought, what are you going to find? And in that one, you do wander around, and you pick things up, and you're trying to... Oh, I can't even figure out exactly what I'm doing. You're releasing objects from the Harry Potter world from some mystical force that's locked them up, or something like that. But, okay, fine, you're doing that. In Pikmin, watching the trailer, I am thoroughly confused what you're supposed to do. Something to do with growing your Pikmin and making them bloom, and to make them bloom you've got to walk, I think it's 10,000 steps by the look of it, in a day. But I can't figure out really what the game is other than just walk. Have you guys got any further insight in this, or are you just as bemused as I am as to what the actual premise is?
I'm in a similar position to you, Alistair. I believe, Kelv, at least referring back to the original titles on the GameCube, Wii and Wii U, the Pikmin are kind of creatures that are, you know, in of, you know, they're very small, you know, they're smaller than a AA battery, or about the size of a AA battery, and they're, you know, running around the world and they're all hidden. So I feel like there's going to be an element of exploring, and maybe you get little wee rumbles when you're near them, and then you go look behind a bin and then there's 15 Pikmins on top of your garbage that day, something like that, and then you collect them and let them collect your steps and eat your steps. I don't know. Mo, what do you think?
I was having a read earlier about it. I think I maybe mentioned that before, but it seems like it's going to be really going for the more walking side of things. So like you're saying, the 10,000 steps there to get something from that. There's a bit I read speaking about encouraging community walks as well. So I don't know if it's going to be even more focused on that. I don't know if you can be more focused in a game that's sort of designed like that. But I was a bit kind of... I wasn't sure what the sort of aim of it was going to be. But I did see a picture where, like, your little characters walking along with loads of them beside you. So I guess it's maybe, like, finding them or catching them or... I don't know.
Who knows? Either way, they want you to paint the world flower or bloom or something like that. Anyway... we'll figure it out when it comes out this side of the pond. Moving on, Dear Villagers has announced Ashwalkers, the Nintendo Switch, a very bleak 3D person survival game, coming out in quarter one of next year. Mo, have you
heard of this? Yes, I did. It's on Steam at the moment. I hadn't actually heard of it, but it does look pretty good. It looks like it's black and white. It does, unless there's maybe some more colour later on in the game. But it's the sort of the video I watched seemed to be quite intense as well, so I think it looks it's interesting, and I think it's also based on sort of your decisions, and it's one of those where depending on what you pick depends on how the sort of end of the game turns out. So I'm quite interested in that one. I would maybe be looking to get that one when it comes out, I think.
Yeah, it's I do fear for how bleak it will be, because it had a very depressing trailer, but in a good way. It was part of the intention of it. As you say, it's black and white, but they've got a splash of blood just so it pops. And yeah, it's narrative based, with every choice you do having meaning. So it kind of, if I had to describe this to somebody who's not seen the trailer, imagine the aesthetic of the first Borderlands made black and white, and then combined with the gameplay of, God, I've just forgotten the game. Oh no, the one that's everybody's losing their mind about. It's got a Final Cut, Disco Elysium. Gameplay of Disco Elysium. I had the box out of my head. So yeah, it's... I think this one could be very, very promising. It's got 34 endings, so I think as long as they make your decisions morally ambiguous and meaningful, impactful in the choices and how the story plays out, this could be a very solid and hopefully morally interesting title.
Yeah, it's been on Steam, certainly, I don't know if it's early access, but weirdly the reviews are mixed on Steam, mostly positive, to be fair, but there's a lot of people who are really enjoying it, who think it's fantastic, the story is just drives them, compels them, and think it's amazing, but there's a couple of people on there who are incredibly negative about it, who are sort of saying, oh, completely falls flat, I had so much potential, it's just rubbish. I'm intrigued, very intrigued, to see who's right. If it's just one of these games that is going to be Marmite, either people love it or they hate it. Could go either way, but it certainly does look like a really interesting premise. It's possibly a bit deeper than most of these sort of decision-making games go, and bleak is a really good word. It is just mostly devoid of colour and exceedingly depressing. Hopefully that makes it a fun game to play and not one that you go, nope, I've had enough, I need to go and play some Pikmin to get happy. Devolver Digital They have announced Death's Door for the Nintendo Switch, a top-down puzzle slasher coming out on the 23rd of November. Anton, what'd you make of this one?
You know, this is a description and a little wee memoir you could attach to probably 50% of indie games. But nevertheless, the title here that Devolver Digital is delivering does look to be very polished. You know, it does look like a prime example of this style of game. I don't know if it will be like up in the top 20 charts, or rather I doubt it would be, but I feel like if you were to pick this up at a reasonable price, you could have a lot of fun with it. It's not reinventing the wheel, but it looks like it's a fairly sturdy wheel.
What about you, Mo?
I like the art style of this one. I'm not sure if it's one I would pick to play, but maybe if it was down in a sale or something, I'd pick it up. But the art style is really, really nice. I do like it. It's just the style of game I'm not too sure myself of. I kind of got that kind of dungeon crawler vibe from watching a couple of the videos. And I think I did read a couple of reviews for this one, and people were saying the sort of soundtracks were really good on this one as well. So that's maybe something to look out for too.
Yeah, it's been on Steam since July, so it's been out, what, 3-4 months now? To incredibly positive reviews, to be fair, and that's always a good indication. I like the idea of this. It's sort of a weird premise that comes from a two-person, Manchester-based, actually, indie company. We like our small companies. And this one from Irish Shores, which is even better. Acid Nerve, I think, is their name, who are behind Titan Seeds. No, Titan Seeds, Titan Souls. So it's... It's local. We like local. This is cool. And you travel to, I guess something, I can't quite figure out what it is. You travel to a land where death doesn't exist. And so bad guys have just been left to get bigger and stronger and grumpier over sort of forever. And you go there and just slay your way through them to try and, I don't know, guess, save someone, do something. I mean, it's probably not the most interesting of premises, but the game does look fun. Visually, it's kind of bright. It's interesting. Top down, but well done. Yeah, I think there's quite a lot to like from this one. Let's move on to, well, a couple of announcements that came out of Square Enix this week. We're getting Lara Croft, Tomb Raider's coming to the Switch.
Oh my god.
Is it? Really? Is it? Anton? Or don't bust our bone, man.
It's Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light and Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris. Now, these are very good games. Lovely titles, in fact. But they were kind of very cheap eShop, PlayStation Network, Xbox Live spin-offs that kind of came out, I believe, early 2010s. It was kind of around about the time of the new reboot. And, you know, great games. I'm disappointed because, at least to me, they don't feel or play like Tomb Raider games. They're Lara Croft in name alone, but I suppose they're still good titles, and I'm happy to have them. I just hope this is indicative of some bigger celebrations that will be coming as part of the 25th anniversary of the Tomb Raider franchise, Mo.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same boat as you, Anton. I've watched videos of this one as well, just to kind of get a feel for the gameplay, but it looks fun, and I think it said it's multiplayer as well, so it looks like one of those where you have to kind of work together to get through. It's not the Lara Croft that I'm used to, or anyone's used to, but I think it's a nice little add-on for the Switch.
Yeah, I played the Temple of Osiris. It was one of the free games on the PlayStation, what was it called?
Plus?
That wasn't PS now. PS Plus. That's the one. PS Plus. So I did play it, and I only played maybe about half an hour, maybe an hour maximum. I just want to play a real Lara Croft Tomb Raider game. It was fine. It was absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with them. I think the first one, the Guardians of the Light, probably won a load of awards and stuff. They were very good games at the time. They just weren't what I was expecting when I saw the word Tomb Raider, or I didn't say Tomb Raider, I said Lara Croft. I think if you go into these thinking, yeah, I'm going to go play as a puzzle game, They are really good, and there'll be good additions to the Switch. But as you say, Anton, I'm hoping that this is indicative of maybe a bigger, more exciting announcement coming our way. I do wonder, actually, do you reckon they could comfortably port over the first of the Lara Croft reboot games to the Switch?
The first two, I think you could, because those both had 360 ports. I think from there on out, it was very much pushing the limits of Xbox One and PS4. So those might be a little bit beyond the capabilities, but even outside of that, getting the original five games from the PlayStation 1 on the Switch would be lovely. Getting this first reboot on the Nintendo Switch, and you know, if we can get the first couple of the second reboot, all the merrier. I would love to see it.
That would be awesome. All right, well, let's move on. Let's talk about, well, my favorite game, the game I'm most excited about coming out anytime soon, Grand Theft Auto, the trilogy, the definitive edition. Let's talk about the physical version, because, well, there's a red flag popping up. It's maybe not quite the right description for it, but there's that little icon in the front that nobody wants to see has leaked onto the interwebs.
Indeed. You know, we can only be so happy. There can only be so much love and happiness in this universe. So, it looks like this title is going to be a download required one. Rockstar Games have done this with their one and only other Switch title, LA Noir. So this was kind of to be expected, but is very disappointing, especially since it is a 25 gigabyte title, and we've had physical games that are bigger than that. Thankfully, it isn't a download code entirely, but you will require a download code. I'm just hoping, you know, it is at least playable. You know, maybe they've just put, like, the first two on there, or the first game on there. You know, I hope there's a complete experience, so once the eShop vanishes, we still have this physical copy that has some working capacity. When it is just, like, you can't boot up nothing without a download, then it's a little bit annoying, but just wish to put the whole game on the cartridge more.
Yeah, so just so, because I was quite finding it hard to understand this one. So you can buy the physical copy and then you pop that into your Switch, and does it download from there, or are you saying you need a separate code to download further?
It would be you just put in the cartridge and then you get an additional download to download the rest of the game.
Oh, right, okay.
Has been a few games, such as, I believe, like, a lot of the titles at Capcom that have released that have went that extra step that you illustrate of requiring having an extra code in the box, but thankfully Rockstar hasn't deployed that tactic when they did port over LA Noir, so I'm hopeful at least that they won't be so evil with this one.
I don't get why. I mean, I want to get angry about this. I am actually kind of angry about this, but I'm not so angry because I think I've resigned myself to, I'm going to buy this digitally anyway, just so that it's always there on my Switch. I don't need to go worry about going to find a cartridge. I might just break my own rule and buy this one digitally. And let's face it, I don't intend selling it on, so it doesn't really matter. But I don't understand why. The games are not new. They're around. They've been ported. Why is some of it on a cartridge, not all of it? I mean, if they can fit The Witcher 3 on a cartridge, why can't they fit these games on the cartridge? They're all much older. They can easily fit on one cartridge. What are they doing?
You know, it's all about saving the price of SD storage and just keeping the cartridge prices down and keeping their profits high, which is a real shame when, you know, I believe on the other two platforms it is like a £60 title, and on the Switch it's like a £49.99 title. So even if it was like a £55 title and we got it all in the cartridge, you know, as time goes on, I think, you know, people consuming physical media will become a little bit like the same people consuming, you know, let's say vinyl. They're paying a premium to have it physically, because at the end of the day, you know, these eShop sales, they can practically give stuff away. And you know, I'm happy paying a little bit extra if it's a proper physical copy. At least halfway in between points, a little bit redundant. You know, it's okay then now when the eShop's alive and well, but in a future where the eShop might not exist, you know, it's going to stuck.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not even a question of might not exist. It won't. Well, we know from past experience that all these online stores, they do eventually close down. This will close down too. By that point, there's a good chance we're probably all mostly moved on to whatever the next console or generation even after that will be, but it's just irksome. It is highly irksome. But anyway, doesn't bother me. I'm going to buy it digitally from the eShop, because that's the way I'm going to roll on this one, baby. All right, I'm going to try and pronounce this. Mushihimisama? Is that right? Sure. Mushihimisama is getting a mini arcade stand accessory via Limited Run Games, and oh boy, is it cool. I love this. Well, have you?
Yeah, I actually thought of you when I watched the video for it. I thought it would be one that you would like. It looks really cool, very colourful, quite fast paced looking. But yeah, it looks quite fun.
Yeah, as I mentioned in the what we've been playing section of this podcast, I've been loving playing some vertical games on the Nintendo Switch, and this is embracing it just in the most, I guess, childish and but fun, glamorous way. It's a shame that it's going to be limited run and kind of tied into this title. I'm hoping somebody produces, or they produce one that is more readily available for the rest of us, because it does look fun. And I admittedly, even though I could imagine this is going to be the hardest way to play this game, it's like a proper bullet hell shooter. It looks brutal, and I imagine playing it with a single Joy-Con that is then stapled to the table would probably make it even harder, but you know what, I'm all in it. I think it's gonna be so much fun, Mo.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture that, actually trying to play it like that. Definitely would be challenging. Does it have to be played in the what did you call it, the vertical? Does it have to be played like
no,
that?
No, thankfully you can play it, but it's got quite big letterboarding on either side, so you've got some big, not black bars, they fill it with some artwork, but useless space on the left and right side. So playing it vertically.
I thought that artwork was for the video. I didn't realize that was part of the game. That's pretty cool.
I have to say, it's such a random little accessory. I mean, it literally is just, it's a plastic stand that is in the shape of an old arcade machine kind of idea. So you take your Joy-Cons off the Switch, you lay the Switch body sort of practically vertically, not quite, but practically vertically on it, in portrait mode, and then the Joy-Con sort of sits neatly into this little like cubby hole towards the bottom on sort of the horizontal plane. So you use your little joystick as if it was the joystick on the arcade machine, you tap the buttons as if it was in the arcade machine, and the best bit of all, it's got a little coin slot at the bottom to put your money in. I don't know if it actually takes money, but it certainly looks like it's a proper little coin slot.
Oh,
it is
God,
just
if they
adorable.
Can combine this with a piggy bank, they've got all, they've figured it out.
I mean, you know me, I don't go for any of this junk, but even I think that looks kind of cool. Okay, on that silence, I'm going to move on, because I think it's time we should talk about the Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pack. So it got launched. There's been a few grumbles and complaints about it, Anton.
Which it real sucks, especially considering people, you know, since, especially for the US market, where it's more than double the price, it's like 150% more expensive than the base, you know, package. And you know, its biggest selling point, the N64 games, the performance is sadly much below expectations and has been worse than the Wii U and Wii emulation, with a caveat of some flaws that were in the Wii U emulation that aren't apparent in this version. That kind of disappointing quality extends to input lag, frame rate, and some unfaithful fog, which they basically increased the draw distance for every single title. But there are some titles that were built with that draw distance in mind. So some elements of The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time are no longer faithful or as atmospheric as the original version. And there are some bits in Super Mario Kart, or Mario Kart 64 rather, that, you know, had things spawning in that foggy area, which now just pop in out of nowhere, which is sadly, in some cases, a little bit jarring. So, how are we feeling? Because I've heard some people saying that, you know, oh, you don't really, it's not really a problem. And then other people are like, no, we're paying the money, it should be perfect. Where do you lie, Mo? Because you've actually given it a wee go.
I thought it was fine. There's a few bits where, you know, things will pop in or it doesn't seem quite right. Like, for example, when I was playing, I picked Zelda first because I really wanted to jump onto that. There was a couple of bits where I kind of thought, oh, that's kind of strange. But I just put it down because it was an older game, so I didn't really think too much into it. The only thing I struggled with on that majorly was the controls. They're really hard. But I don't know if it, again, because it's an older game, or if they've just, there's maybe something because it's on the Switch. And I'm just using, like, I was using it in handheld. So I don't know if maybe like it's to do with the different controller, and if I had maybe the N64 controller that they advertised, it would maybe be different. I'm not too sure. I did play a bit of Mario Kart as well, but it was for about 10 minutes or so, and I played that when I was younger, and I feel like it's just the same as what it was when I was a kid. So I've been enjoying it. I was just gutted because I didn't realize that the Animal Crossing DLC doesn't come out until I think it's Friday. So I went straight onto that, like, yes, I can get onto this, and then it was like, oh, 5th of November. So I had a little moment to myself, but I got over it and jumped onto Zelda.
Well, it's interesting. I obviously played the N64 a lot, but all the games I probably have a rose-tinted memory of, so going to play them on here, I suspect I wouldn't actually notice any difference. I know some people had these deeply sort of burnt-in images of how games looked as in their youth and sort of their defining moments of sort of sun rising over bays and Zelda and all kinds of stuff, and I don't really remember any of that. I just remember I enjoyed those games, that was good fun. I suspect I would probably be okay playing them, but the thing that worried me was sort of the frame rates and the lag that people have been complaining about, and if that is a bit of an issue, I might wait until they maybe, hopefully, iron out some of those emulation issues before jumping on board the expansion pack. I don't know, we'll see.
I'm with you there, Alistair. To be honest, the fog, you know, it does have these occasional elements where it maybe deviates and is not as good as its original counterparts, but in most instances, especially in most of Mario Kart 64, being able to see further ahead does enhance the experience. What doesn't, as you say, input lag. There's nothing more frustrating than dying when it's not your fault, and I sadly do not have the patience to put up with it. So I'm hoping that's something that could be fixed, because it sounds like it shouldn't have been like this in the first place, but it sounds like it's possible to fix. Like, that's just a performance thing, so hopefully they can iron that out and we can get a much better experience.
Fingers crossed. We also found out that the Japanese version of Super Mario 64 on the expansion pass features Rumble, which is kind of cool, but does that mean the rest of us don't have Rumble? It wasn't in the original game.
Yeah, the original Super Mario 64 did not feature Rumble in the West, so if you want the definitive-ish version... It's not the Super Mario All-Stars 3D Collection version. It's not the UK/Western version. You can play the Japanese one. It's right there in the middle. But I do believe it is the speedrunner's choice if you're wanting to play that title.
Ooh, interesting. Any particular reason why?
I believe there's a bunch of glitches and kind of skips that you can do in that one, which you can't do in other versions of Super Mario 64. So I might be mistaken about that, but I believe that's the case.
Fair enough. Well, apparently the Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack trailer is now Nintendo's most disliked video, with 109,000 dislikes on, I'm guessing that's YouTube, is it?
That is indeed. Which, one, sounds awful, and then you realise that the next most disliked video, the trailer for Metroid Federation Force on the Nintendo 3DS, this is a video that came out in 2015, has about 500,000 less views, so more people, out of the people that have watched this video, a higher percentage of the people watching it are disliking it, which is, you know, partially a bit of dislike culture and kind of review bombing, but... I guess shares the sentiment that a lot of people have about the service, or at least the value or the quality of the final service that's came out, which, you know, I guess it's not what we want, or not as good as we wanted, or maybe just too much more than we wanted, but it feels a little harsh to me. I kind of, you know, I feel like it's not meant for everyone. Not everyone wants retro games, so... Okay, I don't know. How are you feeling about this, Mo? I think it's a bit harsh, it seems.
Yeah,
like.
I would say I'm kind of thinking along the same way as you as well. There's always going to be folk that maybe aren't quite happy with this kind of thing anyway. And also going back to, you know, what Al was saying there, that, you know, he can't remember how maybe other folk might remember games being. But I also feel like, looking back as a kid, a game felt like maybe what games feel like now. Because, I don't know, maybe it's because your imagination is more like, you've got more imagination as a kid. So I don't know. Yeah, I think I've kind of lost my train of thought there with where I was going, but I think it's kind of mixed. People that either are going to like it or not like it right now, and like you guys have said, they'll probably patch things up and maybe improve things a little bit as time goes on.
Yeah, well, it's certainly polarised our Discord, it's polarised the internet, it's polarised pretty much everywhere that people have knowledge of the existence of the expansion pack, and will continue to do so. Let's just shuffle our way on to, well, a game that we like to talk about quite a lot on this podcast, and to be fair, also has polarised our Discord a little bit, Among Us. Inner Sloth, who make it, they have teased the next update to Among Us, and this one does sound like it could be quite good fun.
Yeah, so they're... I haven't went into the exact details and parameters of how this feature would work, but they have teased shape-shifting, which I don't know. I feel like this is going to ruin friendships, start wars, create divorces. This feels like it could go nuclear. I could see a lot of blood, especially Mike's blood, once this feature goes live. It sounds chaotic as mo.
Definitely going to be an NSUKP war if we were to set up a game night for that. I had a quick look at it, that one as well. I checked out one of the videos, and I think it looks like you can jump, like you can be somebody else. So it looks like someone killed someone, and that. But you have to be careful. You have to be really sort of, you have to think it through rather than just jumping in and doing it. Because I think they can see if you or it can be obvious if you've done it, so people can see you do it. You know, like if you vent, people see you do that. From what I could gather, it looks like it would be the similar sort of lines as that. But
that's exactly what I read into. It was a bit like venting, and I get they had a little breadcrumb in there, I'm going to call it, where they said you'd leave a trace, and I suspect it might be a bit like, you know, shedding your skin. So maybe that someone as shapeshift, but you don't know who, and it's an interesting little mechanic. They've obviously thought long and hard about what can we do to this game to add some interesting spice. What can we do and come up with shapeshifting? And everyone loves shapeshifting. I mean, what is not to like about shapeshifting? This is going to be awesome and lead to so much confusion and betrayal and backstabbing. Oh, I can't wait for the arguments.
Yeah, if there ever was going to be a Nintendo Switch UK podcast civil war, this would be the ammo for it.
That is going to be fun. Okay, Nintendo, or my Nintendo physical items, have been vanishing in the US. Why?
Yeah, so it looks like this is something they're no longer offering in the US. We don't know if this is just a shortage, or they're doing a refresh, or they're phasing it out worldwide. We'll have to wait and see, but admittedly, I've not known many people to take advantage of it, despite being in a very Nintendo circle with our lovely Discord server. Taken advantage of it at all?
Nope.
No.
Alright, and that would be my theory on why it's vanished, and we'll see how that goes once it hits the rest of the world.
Okay, Metroid Dread, the game that I don't think any of us have played yet, because, well, Anton, you decided it was far too expensive to even try. It's getting a free demo. Does that mean that you guys might go out and try it, play it, see if you want to pull your hair out like everyone else on the internet has done?
I've downloaded it. I did that this evening, so I have every intention to try and give it a go this week.
You're going to look really interesting bald.
Bald?
Oh, once you've pulled out your hair.
You pull your hair
out. I see. Yeah. Well, I might just end up rage deleting it or something, but I'll give it a go.
I was so confused.
About you, Anton?
I'm same boat as Mo. I've begrudgingly downloaded it, so... if they make me buy a £50 2D platformer, I'm going to be mad. But we'll see with this demo. Hopefully it's a good game, because I want to love it. I've never played a Metroid game that has been new at the time of release. But yeah, got downloaded, going to give it a wee go, and shall report back on the next episode 138 of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
I can't wait to find out how you get on. Okay, Nintendo have shared some more artwork. This time of Splatoon 3. And supposedly it's Halloween artwork. I looking at it, I think it just coincided with Halloween. I don't see anything Halloween-y about it. What? Why are they calling this Halloween artwork, Anton?
To be honest, I think Nintendo has like a little folder of like images the social media team can use, and this one was slightly edgy. And that's why Halloween is here. And they're like, sure, we have nothing better to post. And here we are. I'm excited, nevertheless. It doesn't really reveal anything about the game, although they have face masks now, so I guess the COVID influences are here to stay.
I couldn't understand where the Halloween was coming into either. There's a lot of graffiti around it, and yeah, they look quite edgy. But I wasn't too sure where. There's some fingerprints in the top right hand corner, so.
Ooh, spooky fingerprints. Okay, let's move on, because that was a bit of a non-story, to be honest. Fangamer, however, is getting an EU store this November, so if you like your merch and you don't want to ship it from the States, Anton, you might be quite happy about this.
I've been like, there was a couple of friends of mine that were like wanting some stuff from Fangamer, and their postage is especially ridiculous getting over from the States. They do some fantastic collector's editions for stuff like Undertale, Deltarune, Stardew Valley, a whole bunch of just god tier indie titles, and they just have these fantastic collector's editions, vinyls, merch. Their official distributor of the Flip Grip, which is just a wonderful accessory, but their postage has just been dreadful, and due to that I haven't bought anything, but I'd been building up a little bundle of people who were all going to buy stuff from Fangamer and divide down the postage to make it a little bit affordable, but now no need to. Hoping it's admittedly it's covering all of Europe, so you know it's not in the UK, or at least not as I'm aware. I believe it's probably in Germany if I had to guess, but
which means we'll still need to pay VAT when we import it.
But it's better than nothing, so I'm excited, and I imagine a very empty wallet later on in November once this is all up and running.
Indeed. Are you a merch head
now? Recently I've become more interested in stuff like that, but it's more because I'm very aware that physical copies of games are slowly sort of dying. So I did jump onto this and have a look, and I saw the Stardew Valley, and then I saw the... what's the other one? The Undertale one as well. The Undertale one looks really nice. Oh, it does look gorgeous. Really nice. And I'd be so tempted. This is something I probably wouldn't look at due to postage or shipping and whatnot. So I think that's pretty cool. I might be tempted.
Well, for our next story, I'm afraid I'm going to have to disappoint one of our patrons. At least I think I'm disappointing them. Advanced Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp is getting delayed from the 3rd of December 2020 to the 8th of April 2022. That doesn't sound right. We've got those years wrong, haven't we?
Yes, 2021. It's been delayed from 3rd of December 2021 to 8th of April 2022.
That's what I get for blindly reading the text in front of me without thinking about it.
Throwing you under the bus, Alistair, with my cryptic, badly made notes.
But I was thinking about this, so I don't know if this is going to upset our patron who loves these games, because did they not say that they'd already bought it, but without being sort of the reboot camped version? They bought the original ones recently.
Very possibly, but nevertheless, it's a bit of a shame, because this did look like a fairly substantial upgrade from a Game Boy Advance title. And this delays like this suck. I feel like when they delay, like, oh, yep, sorry mates, Kingdom Hearts 4 is not coming out in 2026, it's coming out in 2027. You know, that sort of blow you're fine with, but when it's like, it was 30 days away, and it's about 5 months. That's those like, kind of announcements, those are the ones that get under my skin.
Maybe it's for the good, maybe there's a few things that if they'd released it sooner, it would maybe cause some problems, so... Sometimes I see it as a good thing.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know if it's a massively complicated game or not, but I guess they'll find out. Do you have some more thoughts on this, Anton?
What Mo was saying there, you know, it's that classic Nintendo thing or Miyamoto thing of a bad game is bad forever and a good game is good eventually. Or no, a delayed game's good eventually. Something like that. Nintendo knows quality, and when they've delayed games, it's always been worth it. So, it's been a long time coming, so we're going to have a good tale.
Excellent. Fantastic. Okay, I would say slightly less good news. Maybe less good news if you're a Nintendo employee, but for everyone else, probably doesn't make a big difference. Nintendo has shut down offices in California and Toronto. But as I understand, they're kind of just moving people to their main offices. These are little satellite offices that weren't really used that much. They're shutting down. They've shifted most of their people into their bigger offices, consolidate and save money. Makes kind of sense, Anton.
Indeed. You know, this was all self-contained departments that were at these other buildings. So I think one was like a HR building and one was a PR building. And they've managed to consolidate all of them in Washington, which I think the recent kind of consolidation of Nintendo Japan has maybe inspired some more consolidation in Nintendo US, as it seemingly has done wonders for collaboration and just how quickly and efficiently Nintendo Japan has been able to function as a company. And it seems like similar merits and similar techniques are being used in the States and bring it all home into Washington.
Indeed. This next story was pretty, is going to be absolutely up Moe Street. So Animal Crossing New Horizons Happy Home Paradise will be the only game DLC, apparently. Well, it'll be the game's only... Is this paid DLC? Is that what they're telling us?
Indeed. It'll be the only DLC they'll be doing for this game.
How do you feel about that, Moe?
How do you feel about this one, Moe?
Yeah, no, I wasn't disappointed or anything. Like, it didn't really surprise me because they did it for... Well, it was like a separate game maybe for the DS, but they did a similar kind of... was it Happy Home Designer? And that was like a separate game as well. So I kind of did wonder if they would continue to have DLC, because there were a lot of people... I kind of got the feeling that maybe folk thought there'd be more after that. But they also said there'd be no more updates, I think. Was that right? No more updates.
Indeed.
Yeah, so... I mean, maybe it just means that in the next few years we get another new Animal Crossing at some point. I don't know, but it doesn't disappoint me. I'm just looking forward to what's coming at the end of the week.
Yeah, I am still absolutely smitten and excited for Happy Home Paradise. However, the fact that it is the only DLC for this title, I found quite gutting. You know, I felt like this was a game that could have had years of longevity and content. And I think, one, that they've discontinued the DLC, the updates, which... I get it's not profitable, but the fact that this is just kind of where they're leaving it. You know, there was so much room for expansion. You know, they label, becoming that kind of house designer as a job. Or, you know, it's like, let's go to work. And then there's only one job, you know. Sims 4 has been getting new DLC and new jobs and new occupations and all of that for years. And I feel like that was a similar sort of potential that Animal Crossing New Horizon had. I say this with a degree of disappointment because, you know, Animal Crossing games seemingly don't come around every couple years. So, you know, if it is, you know, and let's say 3-4 years from now we're getting our new Animal Crossing, wonderful. But if this is our last Animal Crossing for another decade, the fact that they've not really seized the potential this game has for reoccurring yearly annual content is a little bit disappointing, because a game where you're meant to check in every single day, I feel like, really benefits from having new stuff getting added every single year. Like, you know, the new Halloween celebrations did participate in a little bit of it this year, but it was the same Halloween celebrations I did last year in the game, and it had potential for more. So even if it was like you buy the DLC and then you get the next year's worth of updates, or I guess that's almost like a season pass, I feel like this sort of title would have benefited from that. So I don't know. I love Animal Crossing, and I just wanted to see how far they could take it. Happy with how far they are taking it and have taken it. I just wish they could take it further.
Fair enough. Talking about taking things further, Nintendo and LEGO are continuing their partnership and rolling out more abominations to the world of LEGO. This time, it is Super Mario Luigi's Mansion. Mo, have you had a look at this?
I did. I thought it was maybe one of those ones you maybe wouldn't like. Am I right in saying?
Funnily enough, it's not tickling my fancy. I mean, just these sets are not LEGO in any way, shape or not. I've had this rant. Stop, Al. Stop. Are you going to go out and buy it, Mo?
No. The only ones I like is the question mark cube and the console one that you've
got. See, they are awesome. They are proper LEGO.
That's the two that I like. Yeah.
Yeah, this one is, I think we've ranted and raved, not raved, just ranted about the Lego Super Mario. At least we got that cool question mark Super Mario 64 set. That's forever good. And, you know, if this partnership enables those every once in a game big cool sets to happen, that's lovely to see. And, you know, excited to see what they could do in the cool end. This one, frankly, I thought the most bizarre thing about it is they announced it, like, on Halloween, basically.
Yeah.
I thought this should be announced, like... Yeah, this should be announced like October 1st, October 15th. You buy it for your kids if you're bougie during that month. Otherwise, you get it at Christmas.
Exactly. We've got a story that's not on this news thing here. It's breaking news, but I feel we need to talk about it, partly because it kind of ties in with tonight's quiz, and partly because it's just awesome. The company behind the excellent calculator has released their next game, or they've announced their next game. Anyone want to take a guess what the next game from the people behind calculator might be?
Weather. That's my guess.
Well, any advance on weather?
Measuring tape.
It's Popeye the Sailor Man. They are taking and rebooting the original arcade game Popeye and bringing it to the Switch, as you do.
Who is in charge of the Popeye IP, and have they ever seen Calculator for Nintendo Switch?
I'm glad you asked that question, Anton, because I don't know who currently has it, but when I was researching this evening's quiz, which I haven't told you yet, is going to be on Donkey Kong, I discovered Donkey Kong wasn't, when they're designing, wasn't actually based on King Kong. Donkey Kong was based on Popeye because, and I'm just going to read you verbatim a bit I managed to find on Tinterwebs, which seems to be right because I find it in a few places, it seems to be genuine. Donkey Kong did have pop culture roots. When Nintendo failed to license the Popeye comic strip character, Nintendo failed to license the Popeye comic strip character. The company charged Miyamoto and his team with creating brand new characters for its next game. Miyamoto worked a carpenter, a gorilla, and a lovely lady who did a sort of love triangle that mirrored the romance of Popeye, his ogreish nemesis Bluto, and Olive Oil. Miyamoto said that making his Bluto-esque character into an ape ensured that there was nothing too evil or repulsive about the big brute. So, weirdly, Popeye has Nintendo roots. I don't know who has him now, but clearly, at some point in the past, Nintendo had the license for Popeye. Okay, I think we should probably talk about some rumours then.
No, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
Okay, we've got another leak talking about the Warner Brothers multiverse, which I presume relates to the sort of Smash clone we were talking about last week. I'm sure Anton will clarify that in a second. But it has appeared online, has been taken down pretty much instantly, but it is known to feature... Oh, various characters. We've got Steven Universe, Adventure Time, Batman, Harley Quinn, Superman, Wonder Woman, Gandalf, Rick and Morty, Tom and Jerry, and Bugs Bunny. Is this still the beat in what we're talking about, Anton?
Indeed. This was shared by a very popular Smash player. Don't know how they got access. Maybe they came to him for early first impressions or whatever it was. But the fact that Warner Bros. Have just been going wild with their banhammer basically confirms this is a real game, it's happening, and this is a cast, and this is real screenshots from the titles. So, basically confirmed. They probably would have been better just leaving it out online, because to be honest, following the previous kind of leak of this title's existence, you know, this is a fairly reasonable fake to do. I could see somebody faking this image, but the fact that they've went to the effort to take this down basically confirms it. As a preferer of characters, I think it seems fairly well-rounded. I'm hoping that's not all of them. I think Warner Bros. Has a wealth of IP to use and take advantage of. I am happy to see that we've got a tune in there, because the previous leak didn't show a tune. So glad Bugs Bunny's in there. And yeah, excited to see and learn more about this title. And I think especially excited to see what the cast of this title is, Mo.
Yeah, I'm quite interested in it as well. I keep wondering what it would be like to play as Shaggy. I never imagined him to be in a game. So, yeah, definitely would give it a bash if it does kind of... has it been confirmed, did you say?
It has not, but no. The ways in which Warner Bros. Have been so aggressive in terms of taking down these leaks, you know, they wouldn't have any ground to do that if it wasn't real. So,
yeah,
it's looking very possible.
I just like the idea of playing a Gandalf and beating the stuffing out of Bugs Bunny, or being Rick and sort of vaporizing Jerry. I think it'd be hilarious. It's just a great premise for a game. It's weirdly, it's far more appealing than Smash ever was. Smash has a lot of niche characters in that you may or may not know, but the Warner Brothers stuff, everybody knows it. It had better be good. It had better be good because there's so much potential. Okay, our second and, well, only other rumour we've got this week, it relates to the Nintendo Switch Online expansion pack again, but it's been data mined with suggesting there are at least 38 N64 games on there and 52 Sega Genesis titles, and through the process of using the alphabet, we can kind of work out what some of them are, Anton.
Indeed, there's a huge opportunity here. I presume some of them will be special editions like they've done with the NES and SNES titles. And this is very exciting to see. I do wish there was more N64 games, but this is a minimum. This is the games they've seemingly worked in or have planned. But I think I've gone back there, Souls Like Gamer, to check out their incredible Twitter. Just put something in our live chat on the Discord server. And, you know, these games, you know, although the service is expensive, it's a lot easier and a lot cheaper than getting all of these games individually. And, you know, I've not played 38 N64 titles in my life, so excited to see what they add to it. And it's just a little bit close to my heart. Really excited to see what they do on the Sega Mega Drive side.
Yeah, it is kind of cool. So the games are listed. They appeared in alphabetical order, and you can actually work out what some of them are. So we already know by going through it that in certain slots, for example, slot 37, alphabetically it has to be Mask of Majora, Majora's Mask. You know that 32 has got to be Smash. They worked out that 33 is likely to be Wave Race for some reason. 14 to 16 are going to be the Mario Party games, so we can kind of infer what some of the titles are going to be that we're getting. And I liked Wave Race at the time. It was fun. There was something incredibly mind-blowing about the mechanic of the water back then. We'd never seen water look vaguely real before, and Wave Race kind of did it. I imagine looking at it now, you go, that is rubbish. But at the time, seriously, the water effects in that game were just mind exploding and amazing, and yeah it would be cool to get some awesome stuff in there. Okay, let's move on to the quiz.
I have so many questions.
So you now know tonight's quiz theme is Donkey Kong. I'm going to give Mo the same opportunity to win 20 points she's had the last 2 weeks. Let's see if this week will be the charm. Anton is in 24 points. Mike is just ahead on 24.5. Let's just dive straight in. I need buzzers from you both. I want Anton to do his best gorilla impression. Go. And I want Mo to give me a slipping on a banana skin impression.
Whee!
That was an excellent banana sound. Let's just jump in straight in. So, developers thought that the movements of a gorilla weren't up to scratch for the game, so they substituted another animal's movements instead. What animal did they use?
Lion.
It is not a lion, but that's a good guess, actually. I like that. Mo, any ideas what animal they use for the movements?
I'm going to go for a bear.
You're both wrong. It was a horse. So next time you look at Donkey Kong movements, apparently they were based on a horse. All right, I have a funny feeling Anton might know this off the top of his head, but we'll try it. What year did Donkey Kong first hit the arcades? Go for it.
1980.
Mo, any advance?
1983.
Anton gets the... No, actually, you know Anton... No, I'll give Anton the point. It's not the right, but he's closest to the pin. It was 1981. 81. I think that's that makes point sense. To Anton. Okay, Donkey Kong 64 holds the world record for the most collectibles in a game. Well, at least it did as of May this year when the article I read was written. I have no idea about it now, but I'm going to go with it. How many items can be collected in the game? Closest to the pin wins. Mo, go first.
1,556. Anton? 9,600.
What did you say? 9,600. Mo gets a point. It is 3,821.
Nice.
Oh,
one apiece. Or a tie, rather.
Okay, Mario's princess in Donkey Kong isn't Princess Peach. What's her name?
Rosalina.
It is not. No, that's not. Mo, any guesses? I mean, I would say it's inspired by a King Kong movie, but I don't think it'll help at all.
I have no idea.
Can I have a second guess?
I'll let Mo have one for... Give me any name, Mo.
Mary.
Wrong. Right, for no points. Anton, do you actually know the answer?
It is Pauline,
but you don't get a point for it, I'm afraid.
I remembered Super Mario Odyssey, and I was like, I'm a fool.
Yes, yes, you were. Okay, what phrase related to the character did Nintendo copyright in 2001? Oh, I can see this pain on Anton's face right now. Actual pain is on his face. Oh, now he's smiling. I have to hurry. Give me a phrase related to this character. Mo, any guesses?
I have no idea.
Party like Donkey Kong or Donkey Kong party.
No,
donkey.
But our Discord did just get it. It's on like Donkey Kong. Apparently it was in I forgot whose song it was. Someone had Ice Cube had it in a song, and yeah, they took umbrage to it and copyrighted it. Okay, so it's still one piece. In what movie did Donkey Kong make his cinematic debut? I'll give you a hint. It was 2015, so it was relatively recent. Again, the Discord's on it.
Wreck-It Ralph.
No. You're close, though.
Is it
it's Pixel! Well done!
I've not even seen it. I pictured the Pac-Man on the front, and I thought it would maybe be that. Nice.
Completely forgot about that.
I love it. Okay, I've got one last question. If Anton gets this, he's going to have to go to a tiebreaker, because at the moment, Mo's in the lead. Okay, who said about Donkey Kong Country? Donkey Kong Country proves that players will put up with mediocre gameplay so long as the art is good.
Sorry, could you repeat that
question?
Yes,
who said about Donkey Kong Country? Donkey Kong Country proves that players will put up with mediocre gameplay so long as the art is good. And again, the Discord is on fire!
Ken Kukuragi.
It is not. Mo, would you care to have a stab at name?
I don't even know any names.
I mean, it's a name that we say on this podcast a lot, but since Anton has already not...
Oh, no.
Since Anton's given us the wrong one, I mean, you've already won. It was Miyamoto, his creator. His creator hated Donkey Kong Country, thought it was a terrible game, and was publicly quite critical of it. So there we go. Mo wins! 20 points to Mo! Huzzah! Huzzah! Hurrah! Woohoo! Fanfare!
Congratulations. You're known the fighting territory now.
Yeah. She's in the game.
I have to prepare
it
myself.
It is on like something I'm not allowed to say, because then Nintendo will sue me. Oh, that was good fun. Thank you very much, everybody. Anton, would you care to tell everybody where they can find us, what they need to do to leave us reviews, all that good stuff?
Indeed. As you mentioned, we've had two very lovely reviews earlier in the show, and it really does help us. So if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or have access to Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a review on that platform in particular, or any others that have reviews. We're not aware of any others that do have reviews, but the ones on Apple Podcasts do help us a lot. So do share some kind words. Also, we've got a new review coming up very shortly on our YouTube channel, so do give that a check. That is the Nintendo Switch UK podcast on YouTube. If you want to find out more about all of the content we do, because we do quite a lot now, surprisingly, you can learn more at nsukp.co.uk/support-us. That has links to our social media, information about our Patreon, and all of the rewards you can get. And on the note, the kind of note of that, you can get to us on social media, NSUK podcast, and via email, podcast@nsukp.co.uk.
That was indeed very comprehensive. Mo, have you got anything you'd like to add before we sign off?
No, I don't think so.
Lovely. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for joining me, Anton. On that note, I will say cheerio.
Ta-ta for now.
Au revoir.